I feel like retail in general, like from a brick and mortar perspective, feels desperate.
We are back.
We back, baby.
We're in it.
Season 5, episode 5. It's March 5th.
Yo, okay. Not for y'all listening, but I mean,
you know,
it is what it is.
Recording on March 5th. This is the Triple 5 episode here.
Yeah.
You know, we got a special prize at the end to get. No.
New setting here. You know, we're doing it from MySpace now.
Yeah, it's different.
Figure it out. Try it and see what works, you know?
It's different.
You know?
It's different.
We're mobile out here.
We're mobile.
Try different stuff.
Yes, sir.
For the people listening, jump on YouTube. What are you doing? We want views on both though, so yeah, you know, figure that out. But we took a week off, we're back, we're recharged. What are you saying, man?
Ready to go. Good, man. I'd say last week has been pretty decent.
Yeah.
I'm gonna give my standard answer and say out of time.
What do you usually say?
I can't remember. It's funny. I say it so much. Oh, not too much.
Same old. Yeah, chilling. Yeah.
But I was in Montreal last weekend.
Ooh, okay.
That's kind of like my big update for you.
Yeah.
Great city.
Yeah.
Love Montreal as a city.
Yeah.
You know, just got away a boys trip with my big bro and my best friend.
Okay.
Got after it.
Yeah.
It's interesting to see the kind of like difference in dynamics between Montreal and Toronto. And I'm not sure if you've been
to Montreal recently.
Yeah. I feel like Montreal is like Toronto to me feels like a bigger city.
Okay.
But, and it's made up of like so many different groups and pockets and places and whatnot. And Montreal is the same way.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that what differentiates Montreal from a city like Toronto is, if you're from Montreal, like you're a Montrealer, and there's something about what that means.
Pride kind
of like,
or?
Yeah, it's okay. Kind of like it's a cultural thing. Like, you know, you're in Montreal when you're there and it like feels different.
Okay.
Know?
Yeah.
And I think that's like partially because, like a lot of people speak French there, obviously.
Yeah.
But there's like a nice mix between like English and French. I feel like, I don't know, it's just like a different culture kind of vibe to it.
Yeah. Better or worse or just different?
I'd say it's different.
It's just different.
But I love Montreal. I'd say I've always wanted to, like, you know, try living there one day.
Okay.
Again, I have lived there, but you know, my adult life, I think it'd be like really dope. But the problem is, it's like, I don't know. There's not as much work for me there, and like because I don't speak French, like I think it kind of limits the opportunities.
Yeah, but, being in partnerships in Montreal without speaking French,
yeah,
is kinda...
it's just not gonna happen. But yeah. I would say it's like a, I don't know if I would pick one or the other. I love Toronto. I love the city, but they're both great for different reasons.
Yeah. That's the way that I would kind of put it, is like, they're both great. It's not one is like so much better than the other.
Totally.
It's just different things, right?
Yeah.
Like some people will say the food is way better in Montreal. I don't know. I mean, I'm in the middle of that, like being in both cities. Partying, honestly, I would say maybe Montreal is a lot better than Toronto,
for sure.
But... affordability, I mean, way better than Toronto.
Yeah, totally. It feels different, right?
Yeah.
It's like, here in Toronto, I feel like it's very, like, go, like,
super corporate. There's, like, laissez-faire, like,
yeah, totally. It's chilling. Like, it's very, you know, it's still busy. It's, like, a huge city, obviously, one of the biggest in Canada, but, it's one of those ones that, you know, you go there and you know instantly that, like, okay, like, this is a different kind of vibe.
Bienvenue à Montréal.
Yeah, hey, I heard the French accent there, you know.
Okay.
Would you ever consider moving there? I don't know.
I did at some point, yeah. I mean, I'd love to just do like 3 months there or something like that.
Yeah, like a summer or something, you know.
Yeah, but I love the summers here so much, so I don't know. But yeah, maybe, or like the springtime or like fall. Winter is a no-go because it's too cold.
Like,
but
I'm good.
Yeah, it'd be cool to just experience it and see, like, can I find a footing here? Like, is it fine that I'm not speaking French? Like, will I still be able to make friends the same way? And like, you know, I know, like, day to day I can get by at grocery stores and all of that, but in terms of the social aspect of, like, if I'm invited to, I'm thinking way too deep, but like, if I'm at a party or something and everyone's speaking French, am I just like,
you're just like, well, how'd you get invited to that party?
Yeah, exactly,
first place,
exactly, you know? So I would just be the outcast. But no, I'm thinking way too deep, you know.
Yeah.
Start small.
Yeah, totally. But that was kind of like my big thing.
Yeah,
the last little bit, in absence of like a vacation,
sure,
like a big kind of like, you know,
some time away.
Yeah, you totally. It's just nice to took a couple days off, you know, enjoyed the city.
Yeah,
took in a hockey game. Great city, great venue, good company,
mm-hmm.
cheap beers. What about you? What have you been
tourism doing? For Montreal? Right
yeah,
now.
Totally.
I've been chilling, man. I started that boxing kind of fitness fight camp.
Okay,
that's gonna be
okay. UFC champion,
pretty much. John Bones Jones over yeah. here, you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's gonna be 90 days. I've completed 1 week so far, so there's a lot more to go, but. Yeah, I did sparring for the first time today. Got my shit rocked a bit. Yeah. Rocked his shit as well, so it is what it is. But, yeah, man, I think it's just, like, it's trying something new, almost, and it's pushing myself to a level that I've never pushed myself before.
Right.
So, like, 11 more weeks of this, like, by the end, I'm probably going to be sick and tired of boxing, you know? But it's, like, a challenge for myself, I think, which is what I wanted to explore this year anyhow. So, feels good to, like, start this year with, like, something that tough.
Yeah.
Then I feel like I can do anything after that.
Yeah. I think it's so important, right? Like, part of doing stuff like that is about building a routine for yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
And I find that, like, when you build a routine, you build, like, habits. And when you build, like, healthy, good habits, then, mm-hmm. like, that's when you start to just, like, have it ingrained in your psyche. So you start to change as a literally. Person.
Yeah.
I've been doing, it's definitely not the same scale. Yeah. But I've been starting the year doing my, you know, classic 100 sit-ups, 100 days
challenge. Oh, right. Yeah, shout out to your friend.
Yeah, totally. So it's a tie, Claire challenge. Mm-hmm. But it's been, like, nice because it's, like, a consistent thing that I know that I need to do every single day. And like
100 sit-ups, 100 push-ups, and 100...
No, it's literally just 100 sit-ups.
Oh, 100
sit-ups. 100 sit-ups, 100 days.
Like, 100 days. That's a long time.
Yeah, days. But, like, it goes by really quick. Like, I started it at the end of December and, like, the 100th day is like April 7th. Something. So okay, like okay. I'm less than a month out from it, basically.
Oh, you've been doing okay. You've
been I've been doing it consistently. For a few months now. But like, to be honest, like I might just keep doing it.
Why not?
Because I feel like it's like nice to have something to do.
Yeah.
And then it's like kind of like making your bed.
Yeah.
Wake up
yeah.
in the morning, you're like, okay, like I have to do this, and you feel like, okay, you accomplished something.
Yeah.
Today.
Yeah.
And I feel like especially this time of year in Canada, it gets so crappy out that like. You know, you're not motivated or it's like, you know, you don't really feel like doing anything. And like when you sit for a couple of days, you start to feel like sluggish
yep.
and you're like, oh, this is like not a good habit. So between that and like going to the gym relatively consistently.
Yeah.
I feel like it's like a good start to the year of like
nice. You
know, building a habit. Just, at least just trying to stay as fit as possible.
Yeah.
You know. Getting up there in age.
Hey, hey. So we're gonna post a picture of your abs on April 7th.
The barrel is
on the Mad Mix IG. You know, or we'll drop it on our OnlyFans. Subscribe whenever you're ready. But we got a few things to talk about.
Yes, sir.
Let's jump right in, man.
I'd say like the biggest thing,
yeah.
That's come up in the last couple days, I would say, is the news about Nordstrom.
RIP.
Yeah, Nordstrom is, I think it's like a Swedish or it's like a European retail store, essentially.
Yeah.
Sells pretty high-end stuff. I feel like Nordstrom, like when you go in there, like...
It's like the Bay Times, too.
Yeah, it's kind of like a store like that.
Yeah.
A lot more premium. They have like way more premium brands. A lot of different variety in the store. I actually never bought anything from Nordstrom before.
Never.
No. Because it's, like, super expensive. Like, it's, like...
Oh, okay.
You know? And if I'm going to go somewhere to, like, get, like, a blazer or something decent, like, I'm probably just ripping, like, Zara or something. Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
They hold it down. Yeah,
totally. But it's kind of interesting, like, you know, so the... I guess, like, the president or... One of the lead operations people made an announcement the other day saying that they're going to cease operations in Canada and basically just like scale back so they can focus on, you know, their other North American focus, which would be the okay. United States.
Yeah.
The quote here was that they didn't see a real estate path to profitability.
I heard they have not been profitable the whole time they've been in Canada.
Yeah.
Totally. Do you know when they came in Canada?
It's been at least 10 years.
Yeah, that is crazy.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Where it's like, that's nuts. Which is crazy because I feel like there's always such a high demand for, like, you know, premium streetwear or like premium like clothing, like high end brands, fashion, all that kind of stuff, and to see it just say, all right, we're out.
We're actually not doing as well as we as you thought we were. Totally. Because you see them in Yorkdale, you see them in Eaton Center. They have a massive presence. They took over, you know, a section in Sherway as well. And it's like, okay, this is, you just assume that they're killing it. They're raking in money. But
totally.
But it's not always.
But it's not always the case. But it's like, it kind of reminds me of back in the day when Target came to Canada. Came to like Canada maybe like, for a couple of years.
I was in high school.
Yeah, it was like for a few years, and then they pulled out of their Canadian operations because they're like, this isn't working.
Yeah.
And people aren't interacting with this brand as much as they would in the States. Which I find like a very interesting distinction between like retailers in Canada, retailers in the US, and then like the crossover of both. Because there's no real like Canadian retailer in the States, but there's a few up here, like Walmart.
That's fair. Yeah, yeah, they're all, and Walmart does super well here.
Walmart is like killing it. That's the classic right there. Yeah. But I find that like it's like why don't we see success?
At
you know, whether it's Nordstrom, whether it's Target. Personally, I feel it's like around how they market.
Okay.
Like it's not like I never saw an ad for Nordstrom. I don't think.
So I have.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think. Well, the reason why I haven't bought, I think I bought maybe one item at some point when they brought Top Man into Nordstrom, but it's really expensive. Like, I'm not someone that spends over $200 on a t-shirt. Like, it's not in my makeup, right? So for me, it's like a price point thing. It's not so much the marketing, but I wonder generally for people that do spend those prices, why they're not choosing Nordstrom. It's never been empty, though. Like, whenever I go to the Eaton Center, there's a lot of people there, so I'm like, what's going on? Are like they just spending too much money on like the retail space? They have like a cafe in there as well. Are they spending too much money on those things?
Yeah, like the experience. I feel like the shopping experience in a Nordstrom has always been like felt very premium.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
but like it kind of begs the question a little bit because you know Nordstrom's not super successful in Canada at least. Target wasn't super successful, but it kind of gets me thinking about the overall like retail landscape in Canada in general. You know what I mean? Yeah. I feel like there's not really I feel like retail in general, like from a brick and mortar perspective, feels desperate. Like whether it's a Canadian brand or not, I feel like, you know, some of the brands that like, you know, iconic Canadian brands like,
The Bay,
like Home Hardware, even
sure, Canadian,
like, you know,
yeah,
they kind of like struggle. Like Canadian Tire is legit because it's like been around for so long, and I feel like they've they've kind of like evolved and innovated themselves. But I feel like the traditional retail vibe in Canada has totally shifted. You know what I mean? Like Sears, for example.
Yeah, yeah.
Done.
Canada's where retail goes to die, I guess.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, I don't know.
Like, how are we that different than, obviously, I haven't spent much time in the States, so I can't really speak to that group, but I didn't think we were that different in terms of our spending habits.
Yeah, and I don't think so. It's maybe the volume of spend, right?
Maybe,
or, like, how we spend, right? Because all of those brands, like, you know, the ones that I just mentioned, are considered, you know, a little bit outdated, or one could say that they would feel outdated or like older or more traditional kind of thing, where like their target audience or they're trying to reach younger, like a younger demographic, but it's kind of like already too late because of like, you know, e-commerce or, you know, niche like brick and mortar located stores or like something that's like a little bit different that doesn't feel as old school. So all those brands, I feel like, have such a challenge to like innovate and like market themselves differently than how they've done it before. And it's probably a huge operations thing as well.
Yeah. You know what? Like that's kind of making me think of in terms of shopping habits. Like I have a friend that works at Aritzia, and she's kind of let me know like their brick and mortar sales are through the roof.
Right.
Like Aritzia just kills it.
Totally.
You know? And they have presence in the States as well, and they're killing it. And I wonder for Nordstrom, because it's like a, not a department store, but like,
I know exactly what I mean.
Yeah, they sell different brands versus, I feel like people are now a bit more loyal to, I'll go to Aritzia or I'll go to, I don't know, name luxury brand that whatever it is, or I'll go to Zara or whatever it is. But Nordstrom is like a collection, and you kind of get lost in there a bit. Now that I'm actually visualizing that experience, you don't really know where everything is. There's a bit of that wayfinding.
Maybe
that's kind of adding to it as well.
Totally. Like, it's like if I'm going to Nord, if I'm going to buy like a Gucci bag,
yeah,
or something like that, I would want to go to the Gucci store.
Gucci store.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It feels like different.
Nordstrom's like a middleman.
It's kind of like, hey, like we're a collector of all of these different brands. Come shop with us. But there's not really like anything that distinctively says
Nordstrom.
Here's how we provide value.
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe that's it. People want to cut out the middleman more now than ever before. I don't know. There's something there.
The very complex thing, and I think, again, like the entire retail landscape in Canada is like, I would say, like, probably facing a lot of challenges.
Yeah.
And it's about the brands who have, like, strong e-commerce strategy, a strong, like, brand differentiating strategy. Like, you know, all those things make up what, you know, the more efficient from an operations standpoint. Like, all those kinds of things, I feel like, are the reasons why, you know, some of those companies that I mentioned, like, could seem to struggle in 2023.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's interesting because, like, you walk through a mall and you're kind of just, like, you assume everyone is doing fine. Because you have no other, like, no one's going to tell you they're struggling until it's too late, right? But I kind of just think of, like, a mall and, like, how many stores you've seen in and out rotate because, they, you know, whatever reason, sales are low, they can't afford the rent, the lease. And it's, like, how long is this, like, concept gonna really last?
Yeah, it's so interesting. And that's what kind of like prompted me to like put this in here, because I'm like I haven't been to a shopping mall in a long time,
just walking around. I don't like malls. I go when I need to, but I don't like it,
you know.
Yeah,
and it's like, you know, my shopping habits have totally changed. I buy way more stuff online.
Yeah,
although I will say, like, I don't really clothing shop online. Like, I'd rather go into a store and like try something on or see how it feels or looks. But
in the metaverse.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. AI. There's got to be some type of AI spin off this, but
definitely.
Let us know your thoughts. If you shopped at, you know, Nordstrom before, or like any other kind of like retailer department store, like, give us your thoughts. We're always interested in hearing what we got to say.
Shout out to Nordstrom.
Yeah, shout out to Nordstrom. Rest in peace, Nordstrom. But let's move on to the next one. The next, deteriorating topic here, which
is the fad of crypto.
Yeah, which is crypto. So when I was like thinking about what we wanted to talk about on this episode, I was like, we haven't really talked about crypto since like last year.
Yeah.
You know, I was kind of looking through some of our topics where, like, I remember last year everything kind of blew up. Like,
bubbling.
The Staples Center changed to crypto.com.
Yeah, whatever happened with that?
There were so many different partnerships and things that were made in crypto. And like, I sit here and early 2023 and I'm like, what the fuck happened to crypto?
Yeah.
Like, it's still here, it's still like present,
definitely,
but like where did it go? You know what I mean? And I looked up I know that like a number of like cryptocurrency banks, or like I don't want to say companies, that doesn't really make any sense, but like brands maybe have like fallen under really hard because of how like volatile the market is, right?
Yeah.
So this bank, Silvergate, read an article this morning, crash on Wall Street this year.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, that is one of like, I'm sure like several crypto brands that are like, how do we trust this anymore? You know, I'm not quite sure.
Like, you never should have, to be honest.
Yeah,
there's a lot of crypto scamming that kind of went on as well, because when there's interest, there's people that are going to take advantage of it, right?
Yeah.
So a lot of people poured savings, some of their life savings, into this particular coin that they were told was going to go to the moon, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, and I remember that one.
It tanks, and this happens so many times, and celebrities get behind these crypto partnerships, but they're not actually really investing, and there's this whole, with Kim Kardashian, whole thing, right? And it's just like, do not invest in anything you don't understand.
Yeah.
And understand there's always going to be risks. Like, I wouldn't say a decent, I put, you know, a little bit into crypto that is now, like, it's tanked pretty much. Right. But I'm just going to keep it and see what happens. Like, yeah, it's totally. Money that I was comfortable that, you know, I'm not going to lose my mind if I lose it, right? Yeah. But there are a lot of people that put in life savings and college tuitions into crypto, and it's like that money is not coming back.
Yeah.
RIP to that money. I'm sorry.
Yeah, like it ain't coming back. It ain't like coming Silver back. Gate.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think it just speaks to a lot of how we just see these trends online, like the GameStop thing back last year and the AMC stocks and the meme stocks. And when you jump on it, when you hear about it on Twitter, it's already too late at that point.
And we said that.
We said that. Yeah. So there's all these buzzwords, right? Like you got crypto, you got the Web3 stuff that came last year. Now it's AI and metaverse and all this stuff that people are trying to catch up and learn, but you don't need to. You don't need to be involved in everything. At some point, it might be necessary and go ahead, but you don't need to stress yourself learning about cryptocurrency, I don't think.
Is it because, like, it's so new that everyone's trying to, like, get ahead of the curve? Yeah. So you're inflating everything. And this is a very, like, general observation.
Yeah.
But we're like, oh, let's, you know, this is the time to invest in this. And it, like, kind of blew up because we all made it blow up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
But, like, when you think about what it is, it's so volatile and it's so risky that, like, if you, you know, we haven't established a role and a place for crypto in society yet that's, like, allows people to feel comfortable and stable with their investments, right?
Yes. Stability and crypto are
you got to decouple those things, right?
I think it kind of speaks to just, like, the state of the economy, though, too, right? It's like people are just looking for these, like, get-rich-quick kind of opportunities.
Yeah.
So even, like, with AI and ChatGPT, there's all these videos about, like, here's how to become a millionaire using ChatGPT. Here's how to do this. And, like, here's how to get a side hustle and side job and all of this and generate income. Why are you sitting just at home? You should be using AI to do this.
And like, it's like, no. Stop it.
When I get it, people don't have a lot of money. Things are costing more and more. Inflation is up. But it's like, you got to do your research. You got to take time. You got to learn what you're doing.
Or you're going to screw yourself over. And I remember, like, all, like, the Forex guys.
Yeah,
and, like,
where are they now? Where are they now?
They're down bad. Yeah. That's where they are. You know what I mean? I'm like, there's no way you're going to tell me that, like, this is a safe investment or a smart investment or anything. I don't trust it because it's not, like, established yet.
Yeah.
And, like, we're trying to build this thing and build wealth from it without actually understanding how it works and the complexities and the risks behind it, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, that's unfortunately what happens. And I'm sure a lot of people have made a ton of money off of crypto.
Of course.
But, like, the same way that people made a ton of money off of, like, the AMC and GameStop.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just, like, an inflated, it's almost like a meme, like, pump and dump.
Yeah. I think the golden rule is, like, if you don't understand the application of something and, like, the future use of it, then don't invest into it.
No.
It just might not be for you. Like, if you don't understand how crypto is going to help in 10 years or whatnot, then that's fine. It's not your thing. Don't invest in it.
Yeah. Totally.
Or maybe do your research, and then eventually, if you can kind of understand where it's going, then sure. But you don't need to use ChatGPT. You don't need to be involved in the metaverse. No. Live your life. You know what I mean?
There's too many, like,
live your life.
You know, there's this, like, this is kind of, like, off topic a little bit, but there's like this TikTok that went viral, and it's like some fucking loser being like, if you're in your 20s and you don't have a Lamborghini, what are you doing with your life? I'm like, shh, like, seriously. Like, this is so, like, it's those kind of, like, douchebags who are like, oh, like, you need to do this,
it works,
or if you're,
it works
totally because there's a
young boys impressionable man.
And they're like, oh, like, it's like, you know, people are bypassing school or, like, taking away the lessons that they're learning in the classroom, and they're learning shit online from people who have no business teaching anybody about anything. You know, it's just a whole, it's almost like a pyramid scheme. Like, those types of things feel like it's like taking advantage of the next guy who's like wants to, like, set himself up and is just not doing the proper research and, like, spinning it or, like, wrapping you up in this, like, really intricate, like, semi-professional kind of, like, oh, you're not doing this?
Yeah.
What are you doing then? Oh, okay, cool.
another tick. I'll just add like one last thing to this combo. But there was this TikTok. This girl was interviewing people at this like financial conference right in the States.
Yeah.
And she's like, what would you rather? 4K per month for the rest of your life, $2 million in cash right now, no taxes, or a 900 credit score? I think most people in the world will choose option A or B.
Yeah.
For him, he's going on about option C. So he's like, you know, the 900 credit score, because that will give me access to $2 million loan, and I can kind of move however I want with this 900 credit score. And he's a financial advisor. So people are ripping him in the comments of like, dude, take the money. Like, what are you? Yeah,
$4,000 every month for the rest of your life on top of your job.
Yeah.
That's probably way more than $2 million.
It will be after 10 years. Even then, like, if you don't think you're going to live that long, sure, take the $2 million. That's good advice already. You can turn that into a long-lasting income. And I'm no financial advisor, but I'm like, how are you, like, selling courses to people and branding yourself online?
Yeah.
And you're going on about, everyone just wants to sound so smart.
Yeah, they want to be so like the next big guy, or you know, just a bunch of. It only reinforces like the stupid narrative around like crypto bros and all that. Like, oh,
listen to me.
I made a ton of money doing this. Yeah. What are you doing? It's like, okay, well, like if you had a ton, either you're bullshitting or like you got this money from like you didn't work for it.
Yeah.
Like you had,
you're out here scamming people, pretty much.
Totally. But I don't know. Let's kind of move on.
Yeah.
Getting a little heated talking about crypto, but. Let us know what your thoughts. And again, like, I don't want to say that like it's invaluable or like it's not valuable. I think that there's a place for it. I just think a lot of people got screwed.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Next topic.
This is another one. Man, we are on a streak right now, man. For anyone who's been following the NBA, I'm gonna
put a gunshot sound effect.
Yeah. Grizzly superstar Ja Morant. Yeah. Dude, this guy is fumbling the bag. He's screwing himself over. I like Ja Morant. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So for those who don't know, Ja Morant's gotten into a couple like, you know, conversations around like, you know, trying to be like this like thug guy street or like cred, this like, yeah. you know, guy who's like, you know, from the hood or whatever. But I'm pretty sure he's like, he came from like a pretty good background and like, you know, he's not that kind of guy,
sort of
thing. And, you know, there was a video that came out, it was either yesterday or the day before, of Ja Morant at a club in Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like flashing a gun on IG Live.
Yep.
I'm like, bro, what?
What are you doing?
What on
the earth? Jokes are always like, he's the one NBA player trying to get out of the league.
Yeah.
He's the one guy trying to mess up his career. Like,
and he's so talented. He's such a good basketball player.
So promising,
like,
yeah.
You know? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and comment on, like, somebody else's life. I don't know all the details or whatever. But, like, from an outsider's perspective, you have to look at this situation and say, what on earth are you doing? And
who's like, on your team? Like, even who's your family? Who are your friends? Like, they can't possibly be letting you do this stuff.
No, and it's
your agent, you know what I mean? The coach, like.
There's so much that I think that, like, he's trying to prove.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you have to look at this situation and just say, like, stop. Like, you don't need to do this. Like,
how old is he?
I think he's, like, 21. Probably, like, mid-20s.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Early to mid-20s. So he's a young guy.
Old enough to understand, but yeah.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. But think about what this does to like how the team has to handle this.
Yeah.
Because you know what I mean? Like, he's dropping like 37 and then he's going to the club and being stupid and like pulling a gun out.
Yeah. What? Like, what is that indicating?
Yeah. You
know? And he follows the stuff online. He knows the narrative that's being spun about him. So like, why add to that?
Yeah,
it's like a joke at that point, you know.
There's been a lot of stuff that's come out to you saying that like he would like pull a gun or something on like a 17-year-old kid or like something stupid like that, or like gotten an altercation with like a 17-year-old,
flashed his gun at a 17-year-old.
Yeah, you're like crazy. You're like, man, like what are you doing? What on earth are you doing?
Yeah,
you
know what I mean? And he's always tweeting like, yo, trust me, I'm good in every hood and all that. And it's like, okay, bro, but what are you trying to prove here?
Yeah, it's like,
you know,
yeah, like just. Okay, cool, man. Like, yeah. You know, help your team win a championship.
Yeah, you know, yeah, because this is a topic of conversation that's overshadowing your talent at this point.
Yeah, like, totally.
Stephen A. Smith is kind of talking about how the NBA is going to be investigating this and looking into like disciplinary action. And it's like, you don't need all of that when you're kind of still starting out your career. You know what I mean? Making a splash.
Especially when you like started out on the right foot.
Yeah.
Or you're like, man, like you were like a very likable guy.
Yep.
You are extremely talented. You're an explosive, exciting player to watch. Like, people want to see you do what you're good at doing.
Yeah.
And I assume doing what you love to do and playing basketball. Like, so many people would dream of that opportunity. And, like, you're in a situation where you're risking throwing it all away. Mind you, I think that, like, I don't think that, like, there's going to be, like, a massive implication behind stuff like this because of, like, his status in the league being a star, which is weird.
I would argue that, but yeah, we'll see.
But at the same time, like, he did apologize.
Yesterday.
He came out. He's like, I'm gonna take some time away.
he deleted his Twitter.
Yeah, and I'm like, he deleted everything, which I'm like, good. Like, just, you know, focus on not doing this stuff and finding another way to like channel whatever feelings are going on upstairs.
Just don't post it. At the very least, just don't post it publicly.
Yeah.
Like, you're in an open carry state. You can have a gun, sure.
Totally.
It's okay, that's the law. Yeah. But why are you posting it on IG Live?
Yeah. It's like, you're then like, yeah, I don't know what you're trying to prove.
Yeah.
You know? It's like, you're not hard, man. And yeah. I'm sure there's a lot of guys who are like watching those videos and being like, okay, like, John Morant, like, sweet.
Unnecessary attention, man.
So brutal, but
it's crazy.
I don't know. Just need to bring that one up because it's a good example of like using talent and potentially risking it for something that doesn't.
Yeah, because like as a brand, like Nike is involved with Ja Morant, right? Like
I think so.
Right. But like if you think of brand deals, right? McDonald's, Coca-Cola, like you think they're.
Yeah, they're like, no.
I mean, they might still approach it, but they're going to be thinking as well. They might have an extra clause in there because of these kind of situations, right? Exactly. They're not going to go full force like they would with LeBron James that is squeaky clean.
Totally.
You know? So it's like, clean up the act, man. You're trying to create generational wealth for your family and all of that. Like,
and
be
a leader.
Yeah.
And be like you're a role model. A lot of people look up to you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, you know, and you can live your life however you want to live it. Just like understand that like what this does outside of your own, you know, universe here.
Yeah. You're not playing basketball forever. So tighten up. We got to talk about this thing that kind of has been covering the internet for a while, but I want to ask you about Ivy Park.
All right. Okay.
And we know you're not kitted out in Ivy Park right
now. Not today. No.
Have you ever bought any Ivy Park?
No. I didn't really know what it was.
Right.
I always see it on like Adidas.
Yeah. So like Beyonce has a partnership with Adidas for her Ivy Park line, which is an athleisure brand, everything from sweatpants, track pants, the whole suite, right? Similar to kind of like the Kanye and Yeezy brand, the way it's structured with Adidas.
Yeah.
So Beyonce has like full kind of creative control, but Adidas helps with the distribution of things. So this has been around before Yeezy, even. Like, it's been around for a while.
Yeah.
And she kind of drops stuff every couple of years, makes a big deal out of it, sends like all this gear to celebrities for them to wear. But it has not been doing well for Adidas. Like, it hasn't churned like a profit for them.
Yeah.
And it doesn't hit their targeted sales numbers.
Sure.
And this year, they're projected to be like down 50% compared to last year. Down like $200 million. And the question that's been sweeping online and think pieces and all of that is like, how does Beyonce at her level that is like selling $10,000 concert tickets and selling stadiums all over the world, how can she not move this clothing? Like, why aren't people just like buying it off of the strength of the name? You know, similar to like a Fenty with Rihanna that is selling off the shelves.
Totally. I think it's weird. And I think it's like really simple.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what the fuck Ivy Park is.
that's a big point.
You know what I mean? I'm like, I don't think anyone actually knows. And like,
taking
a step back, like, how much of a bad do you have to fumble if you like can't sell Beyonce's like collection?
Yeah.
Like, you have to like that. That doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah.
But I would say like with Fenty, it's like Fenty by Rihanna.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they brand it very well.
Yeah.
She's like the face of it. Totally understand that. or like some of the other brands. What was the other one that you mentioned?
Like Yeezy.
Yeezy, yeah. You know?
He's always wearing it.
Yeah, and that's like literally his name.
Yeah, Yeezy. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So everyone, it's like, okay, Kanye equals Yeezy. They built a brand for him. You know what I mean? So it's like the consumer understands 100% this is where this is coming from.
Yeah.
Ivy Park seems like just like a random collab or something else. Like I think like the association between that and Beyonce and Adidas, like it kind of gets lost in the mix where I'm like, I don't actually know what I'm purchasing or who I'm purchasing from.
Yeah, okay. Right.
So I would say like if I were Adidas or Beyonce,
yeah,
I would say like, you know what, let's just like strip out like the name of this and like let's just call it like Beyonce or something like that. You know what I mean? Yeah, like just do it like make it the association between your brand and like the collection is all that people need to know. And I don't think I would argue. I don't think people know it.
So I will say, I think maybe only Beyonce fans would know it, but like Ivy, she's obsessed with the number 4, and Ivy is like Blue Ivy's name. You know what I mean? So it's part of her brand. I don't really get the park part, but for just a general, you don't just want Beyonce fans buying this.
Yeah.
You want the general
person.
You want anyone buying this, right? And I think a big thing that I actually just started to think about was like, she's so mysterious, right? Yeah. Versus Kanye and Rihanna. Like Rihanna just put her makeup on during the Super Bowl performance for Fenty, and the sales went up and the searches went up. Kanye is wearing his shoes, caught by the paparazzi. You see it. He has the full gear on. Beyonce is just, you only see her on Instagram when she wants to be seen.
Yeah.
And that's a photo shoot.
Right.
So people, I don't think people believe that she wears the brand, and she's not really tied to sports. So I don't know what the athleisure tie-in is for. So I think it's just like I don't really get it. Like why she went the athleisure route, because she's never been tied with athleticism in like any way.
Yeah.
You know, so, and you gotta wear the shit. Like, you gotta be, you know, why are you not wearing this when you're performing? She's wearing, you know, designer and
all this other stuff. No, it's a great perspective. Because
she's not gonna wear athleisure while performing, but, like, people wanna be you.
Yeah.
So I don't know if, like, I don't have the full perspective of all of that, but I've never really seen her wear it outside of a campaign.
Totally.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't disagree. I think it's like connect the brand to you.
Yeah.
And right now it's disconnected.
So is that what you would say? So like the question I have here is like, what makes a good celeb partnership? Like, can you think of an example of something that you bought that was like tied to a celebrity and like why you bought it?
Or like I would say like OVO is like a good example.
Yeah. Okay. What does he do right? I guess.
You know, it's like again, OVO is like very. I would say it's in the same kind of like ballpark.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it's not like OVO by Drake, or it's not like directly associated with his actual name.
Yeah.
But like he calls it out as a song.
Yeah.
He's like built a brand. He's built like a culture behind all of it.
Yeah. Like, and he wears it.
and he wears it all the time. Yeah. He references it all the time. It's that's like a good example of like a brand partnership. But like the ones that do it the simplest are the ones that just connect, you know, celebrity status to, you know, apparel.
Yeah.
Mix those together. Don't make it complicated. Your brand, like your own brand as a celebrity will carry itself. Will carry it as far as it can go.
Yeah.
I think that's the most important piece.
It's insane, man. Because you would just never, I think most people don't even really know this thing exists. Like if I ask my mom about Ivy Park, there's no chance she knows what that is.
Yeah. Beats me.
You know, but everyone knows who Beyonce is.
Totally. They should just call it Beyonce.
Beyonce, Adidas, yeah. I don't know. So we'll see what happens. There's been some think pieces that I've been reading about, like, how she should, you know, revolutionize this. And someone actually made a pretty good, what I thought was a good idea was she should remarket this towards the, like, teen, tween kind of market.
Yeah.
And make Blue Ivy the face of it, her daughter.
That's smart.
Just like,
maybe that's,
you know, what?
Maybe that's the plan.
That would
that's actually smart.
That would make sense, but I don't know. We'll move on and we'll see what happens with Ivy Park. This piece I wanted to add.
Yeah, I saw this on my list. All right, let's get into it.
A little bit of a barber rant.
Okay.
And this doesn't, you know, we can start with kind of what I want to get off my chest in terms of like opportunities, but in general, I think there are a few like industries or like areas that are, you know, are lacking in innovation, I should say.
Okay.
So what I mean, the barber rant is like, as I'm only going to speak to like, you know, the male perspective of kind of going to barbers, but like there's this strong piece of loyalty.
Yep.
And it's always kind of been a joke of like, you can't cheat on your barber. This is your barber.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's but fact.
What they don't do as an opportunity is reward that loyalty. Why is there no referral program at a lot of barbershops that I go to? Why is there no point system, maybe, you know, where it's like you come in 9 times in a row or something, you get the 10th haircut free? Why am I not getting, you know, my birthday haircut free? Like, why are there not sure. opportunities here that you can like reward and extend someone's loyalty? Yeah. You know,
I think it's a really smart point.
Yeah. Like, I posted this on Twitter and a bunch of guys are in the comments like, yeah, where's like the loyalty points for, you know, being at a party? You know? And I'm just like, yo, you guys gotta like, you gotta step it up. And I'm talking to my barber. I'm like, you gotta do all this stuff, but it's not his barber shop, right? So it's like, he can't really implement that.
Yeah.
But yeah, what do you think in terms of like, it doesn't even need to be just barbers in general, but certain like industries and certain places you go to where you're like, y'all need to step it up. Like, what's the next layer of this? You know?
Yeah.
And I put you on the spot, but, you know.
I would say that, like, I don't know, the barber industry is really interesting, right? Or barber shop type industry is super interesting. I feel like I've been going to the same guy for
a long time.
The last 5 years.
Yeah.
Same guy. Like, he was at a shop. He left the shop because he went to go do something else.
Sure.
He's an electrician. But he's still taking clients and cutting, you know.
Yeah.
You know, shout out to Faded by Phil.
Woo.
We'll like link you in the comments or something like that. Yeah, but he's OG. Love this guy. Does a great job. Actually, just came from getting my hair cut from him right now.
Fresh. Take the hat off, bro.
Yeah. Here we go. The thing is, like, it's fresh, so like I haven't showered yet or anything.
Yeah.
I literally came straight there.
There you go.
But it's interesting because, you know, he runs his own like kind of like private practice, right?
Okay.
So
he can do whatever he wants.
Yeah, totally. He can do whatever he wants. But if like I'm in his shoes, it's like you have to look at, you know, if it's a shop and like a brand and a company, like you're still paying for like the individual like talent of said barber, right?
Yeah.
So it's like I know that this is a transaction between myself and the barber through the barber shop.
Yeah.
So I think that like it's hard to apply a consistent or universal like rewards program or loyalty program. I think it's
on the like, individual problem.
Yeah, totally. But it's like if you have your own shop, you can kind of consider doing that or like doing, you know, whatever you need to do to get by.
Yeah.
And like, to be honest, like it's simple.
It works.
I like method. I book it online on his website.
Yeah.
I show up to his house. We talk. We watch soccer. We've been talking about like chess recently, which is hilarious. Okay. Get my hair cut, pay him his cash, and then leave.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like sometimes I don't think it needs to be more complicated than that.
You know, I agree with you. It's like the simple kind of form of it, but I'm just like, what's the opportunity here, you know? Because there's that key insight of like we're all so goddamn loyal. So it's like, is there a way, is there a need to do anything is the ultimate question, because you're kind of challenging that of like, if it's not broke, don't fix, you know, kind of leave it the way it is. But
I think it's an industry that could use a disruptor.
Yeah.
Like, what does that look like?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Man, have you been seeing those TikTok ads of like the self fader haircut?
No.
It's crazy, man. Like, it's they've modded a clipper that will give you allegedly the perfect fade every time, and you don't need to do anything. You're just cutting your hair with a clipper.
That's amazing.
And I like showed my barber. He's like, "That's witchcraft, man. No, that's not real." And I'm like, "Yeah, how the hell is that possible?"
Right.
I don't know. Maybe that's the next layer of this, where people just cut their hair at home. But I like going to a barber shop. I like having an appointment and having a touch point with my barber. We talk about power and TV and all that.
Yeah,
shit,
totally.
I
think it's like a very traditional, like old school type practice. Like everyone's got to do it.
Yeah.
And like, again, like the experience of like getting a proper like lineup or fade or anything like that, like I don't think I could create that same type of feeling like by myself.
No, I don't even want to.
And I don't even want to try it because I know that I'm going to screw this
shit. Literally, man.
So I'm happy the way it is, but I totally agree.
Do you remember at Humber, man, when I tried to put the line in my hair?
Oh, yeah.
And we were going to the Raptors game, and then I messed it up, and it was,
To be honest, like, it wasn't that bad.
Okay, I was panicking, man.
But it's one of those things where you do, and, like, you see yourself, and you're like, I look fucked.
Yeah, this is terrible.
But I look at that, and I'm like, man, I actually, like, don't even really notice too much.
Oh, man, my heart was beating, bro. I was like...
Yeah, at this point, you just got to go bald.
Yeah, cut it all off. Nah, it is what it is. But, yeah, that's my barber rant, and that's our episode.
That's our fifth episode. Thank you so much for listening. We talked about crypto. We talked about haircuts. We talked about Ja Morant, Nordstrom, everything. Yeah. Thank you so much for listening. Definitely get in touch if you have any questions, thoughts. If you're a barber... and you're listening to this and you're pissed, offers a discount, we'll explore other options. But 100%. Again, stay tuned for more great content. Of course, shout outs to BioSteel as well for hooking it up. Always got to plug BioSteel. Love it. And have a great rest of your day.
Peace.